You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, it looks like formerly Vice President Joe Biden, our former vice president, is in the race, girl.
Number 22.
It kind of looks like the Republican race going back to 2016.
Yeah, I think we only had 17, and I think that there may still be more people to jump in.
I think there is, yeah.
Well, you know, fine. We'll let them fight it out for a while. I get really tired of this coming so early in the year, you know, when we have so far to go until the election. Oh my gosh, you just get kind of election weary.
Well, you know what? Being an old white guy, I'm kind of tired of old white guys coming in.
Well, you know, he and Bernie Sanders they're pretty up there in age. Well,
Bernie's a year older than he is.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, they're both pretty up there in age, and the thing is, Joe Biden is coming in, and he's going to be more the moderate type of Democrat. But, you know, if you look at his history in the Me Too era of things with, you know, all of his hugging, that's going to come up.
Do you mean the Joe Biden moments?
Yeah. The other things that are going to come up are, you know, his racist decisions earlier in his career. Now, listen, the reality is the times were different in the country over different times, right? Things were different. So,
right.
People are using that to just absolutely demean people and get rid of them for their own purposes. And that's already started with people like Kamala Harris.
You know, there are people in this country that have no life and nothing to do. And these are the people that go back to like when Brett Kavanaugh was like 15 years old, right? And the people, you know, that do that kind of thing. I mean, the other day, they pulled down the statue of Kate Smith, and I don't know whether it was the Philadelphia.
I think it was the Philadelphia Flyers.
People these days don't even remember who Kate Smith was, but back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, especially during the war era, World War II, Kate Smith was huge. She was one of the three most popular women in the United States outside of Eleanor Roosevelt, and she raised millions and millions of dollars in war bonds, which really helped the United States defeat the Axis powers. And I think they found one song that she had sung back in the 30s that they deemed to be a racist song. But, you know, like you said, Linda, times were different back then, and yes. I don't excuse those times, right? You know, racism is racism, but for one song to completely destroy the entire history of an American patriot, and I think when Reagan was president, he presented her with the Medal of Freedom, which is the highest award that we give away in the United States to civilians.
And what she did is sing a song about a little black child. And, you know, I mean, I looked at the words to the song. This is just not a big deal. But anyway, that's what people do now. And what I kind of want to talk about today is our Congress and our Democrats. And now that the Mueller thing is over, what have they done and where are we going? And the answer is nowhere. They've done nothing and we're going nowhere. And, you know, President Trump is trying to move on with things about the border, things about medical. You know, he's trying to go back into some of the serious things. He's working on infrastructure. Our Congress has done nothing and has no agenda to do anything except for get rid of President Trump.
Well, okay, so now we have a Democratic majority in the Congress, and they got elected under a platform that they were going to move America forward. So they were going to get involved in immigration. They were going to get involved in infrastructure. They were going to get involved in prescription medicine and the opioid crisis and everything. They've been in power for about 120 days now, and they haven't done one single thing. There is not one single piece of legislation that they have put forward that they have passed.
No. And, you know, I also want to discuss a little bit that we are in California as we're talking. And, you know, what we notice here is a lot of people that want to get out of California. The roads are terrible. The taxes are getting worse. The gas prices are horrible.
And I just paid $4.19 a gallon, and I saw it as much as $4.39, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And so, you know, I went to get my car repaired, and I was talking to a gentleman, man, with a Mexican wife, really, really nice couple, and they are looking at moving their business to Texas.
But, you know, they're not the only people moving their business to Texas. You had a medical appointment today, and you were talking to your doctor, and what did he tell you?
Well, I had mentioned the whole Medicare issue and that I didn't understand why I could see doctors in California, but I couldn't see any doctors in Texas. And he said, well, in California, the doctors will take Medicare because they don't make as much money as the doctors in Texas do. In Texas, they have a lot less regulation, a lot less money for the insurance that they have to pay because they put a cap on what the payouts would be.
Okay.
So they don't have all the same expenses, and they apparently make a lot more money. I never knew that. It never even occurred to me that that would be the case. But they don't want to take Medicare and get paid, you know, just a few dollars for an appointment when they can make really good money at it. So I can understand a lot better now, and actually think that I'm going to put myself back on my company insurance because, you know, I don't need to have to come all the way to California to get a medical appointment or just to have, as today was, just an annual checkup. You know, I can't seem to get it done in Texas, but it's really interesting because he just said it was a completely different environment for doctors, which I think that Californians should really take note of because it makes doctors not want to work in the state of California as opposed to other states because it's more lucrative for them, which is, after all, why they went into business. I mean, certainly there are people that are, you know, just kind people who want to take care of other people and they become doctors. But the truth is, it is a business. It is a profit-making business.
Right. And not everybody works for a hospital chain such as, you know, Kaiser Permanente and, you know, Stanford or, you know, some of these other USC, UC San Diego Medical Center, you know, which is kind of like municipal or private municipal hospitalization. Doctors get to rent space in hospitals, rent offices in hospitals, and rent clinics around hospitals, and they're in private practice. And like you said, it's a business.
Right. But, you know, that to your point, our brother-in-law is in the medical field. And what he says in California is that really all the doctors are going into those types of things and going into doctor groups and going into hospital groups because they can't afford to do the practices on their own for all kinds of reasons. All of the insurance, all of the paperwork, all of the, you know, just the lack of money that they get because they have to pay so many other things. So, I mean, it makes the healthcare quality go down.
Well, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you even know the answer. So, do you think the future for people like you and I is concierge medical service? Do you think that that's where doctors will go, where they form these private concierge medical clinics where you don't have to worry about anything? I mean, they're on retainer, basically. You pay X amount of couple of thousand bucks a year for this concierge service, but there's no long lines of waiting. You can call them. They will come to you. They will give, you know, they'll give you customer service as medical professionals. Is that the future?
Well, I think it's part of the future, and I think it's something that I want to investigate myself because I'd like to learn about them, because the wait times right now for doctors, if you really do have something wrong with you, are horrendous. the wait times for a doctor, if you think you might have something wrong with you and you're going through that whole stress about do you have something wrong or do you not have something wrong, that's very stressful, and the wait times are ridiculous.
Well, you know what? I remember when your dad was alive, and you know, you and mm-hmm. I were together that night when he had that medical emergency, and we had to take him to the hospital, and how traumatic that was, because you know they were going to have him wait. There were illegal.
He did. He waited hours.
There were illegal aliens, you know, in the front room, and they had sniffles or colds. There was nobody there that had any immediate medical emergency.
Like
except for your dad.
Right, yeah.
And that kind of stuff has got to stop.
Yeah. It's the whole medical situation. The problem, in my opinion, is when you get the government involved in anything, you mess it up big time.
Right.
And that's what has happened to medicine. And, you know, today when I went and I had every year you have to fill out a paper, you know, do you have any symptoms? Has anything changed since last time you've been here?
Right.
And all that. And they had a new paper on there today. And that paper said, you had to read it and sign it. And it said, you know, you understand that with Medicare, they don't approve all procedures that we would recommend. With Medicare, they don't approve this, they don't approve that, and went through a whole paper of things that you won't get from Medicare.
Boy, did you save that? Because, boy, that's a wonderful subject topic for conversation in the future.
If I don't have it, and I may have it, but I meant to ask for it. If I don't have it, I'll pick another one up.
Because people would really be interested in finding out what Medicare won't pay for that they think it will.
Right, because the government, again, is going to limit what medical care we get. And I absolutely think that that is wrong. And it's really kind of backwards to what Bernie Sanders says, who says, you know, Medicare for everybody, and everybody has a right to have health care. Well, guess what? I have Medicare. I don't even have a right to have health care reading the paper that I had to read today.
Right.
I only have a right to have the health care that they choose me to have, not that my doctor chooses me to have, not that I choose me to have.
And that's so dangerous, and it's so unhealthy. And, you know, if people...
unethical.
People are so dumb in the United States. You know, they let somebody like Bernie Sanders come in, and, you know, Ocasio-Cortez come in, and Warren come in, and they're talking about, you know, universal health care for all. All they have to do is look at the countries that have that model. And right next door to us, we've got Canada, our northern, brothers of North America. And their medical system is an absolute shambles. And, you know, they sneak over the border to the United States for medical care all the time. And,
sure.
You know, and by the way, another good model, I'm going to say something good about Mexico. I like the Mexican model, just the way that they do medical care there, because you and I have one of our dentists there, and he's phenomenal. And we pay one-third, for dentistry that we do here in the United States. We have never had to wait as much as 1 minute. They are always ready for us.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give us anything we want. You name it as far as dentistry, and he's a phenomenal dentist. He's a maxillofacial surgeon, and, you know, besides just being, you know, a DDS. And I'm telling you what, we can walk to the dentist office and have a fantastic time for one-third the price. Why can't the United States get that?
They can't get that because they have too many people in between our dollar and their service. So there's too many middlemen in there that they've put in there.
Sure.
And it's all government stuff because everybody wants a buck. If they would butt out of our life and let us have, you know, just the way it used to be when we were young was, you know, that you paid for insurance and that handled catastrophic things. But other than that, it was 80-20. The insurance paid 80%. Right. You paid 20%. That was it. It was cut and dried. And the doctor was able to give you anything that you needed. So if the doctor, you know, said you need to have surgery, you got the surgery. You didn't have to go to anybody else for permission. And that's what's wrong here, is we have all of these huge buildings full of people.
Cubicles.
That have cubicle cities.
That have no connection to you, have no idea what your medical needs are, and they are the people. It's so abstract. They are the people making decisions over the doctor as to what they are going to allow as far as a medical procedure and how much, you know, you're going to pay versus the insurance is going to pay. It's asinine. It's archaic. I think it's unethical because there's no connection. There's no face-to-face. It's like you say, there's a lot of intermediaries, a lot of surrogates that have no context as what medical procedures are or what your medical needs are.
Yet they force us to pay into the system of Medicare for all of the years of our career, right? And then when it comes time that you use it, you get nothing out of it. Now, if you're in California, you're going to get a lot more out of it than if you're somewhere like Texas or other states. But that's a state-by-state type of thing. The point is that we put the money in and we get nothing out of it, except for people that are deciding what our health care is.
Yeah, and let me also mention that here we go again. The do-nothing Congress, the do-nothing Senate, and they keep kicking this can down the road. Let me just mention one thing, you know, real briefly. And that is cross-state lines insurance.
Yes.
Why can't we go get insurance in Kentucky or in Arizona or in, you know, Ohio? Why can't we get, if there's a medical insurance company or a program in another state, why should we have this problem of obstruction where we can't shop around and find the best insurance and then the market would take care of itself?
And why, like you said, do they keep kicking the can down the road? Because we have been waiting years for that solution.
Well, you know what? When we come back from having a cup of coffee, let's you and me talk about the dysfunctional, ineffective Congress.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, after a couple of beers and that pizza, I'm ready for ice water now.
Yeah.
Kind of switching it up a little bit. Although we could keep drinking the beers, but then our coffee conversation would kind of go downhill. So I wanted to talk about this horrible, dysfunctional Congress. What is going on? Are you sick of this or what?
Well, I hope everybody's sick of it, as we all should be, because really, it has been a very long time since anything other than what President Trump himself has done has gotten done in the halls of Congress or in the Senate.
By the way, I hasten to mention, just in case nobody's heard of it, Trump won this whole Russian collusion thing. The Mueller report showed absolutely no collusion whatsoever, no connection with the Russians, no connection with anybody on the Trump campaign staff. and done, put it to bed. But the thing that ticks me off, one of many, instead of moving the country forward, the Democratic Congress is locked on to Trump again. Trump derangement syndrome, right? And they are going to push this all the way to the 2020 elections. And I don't know about you, but here's my honest opinion. That's a huge screw up. And they will lose the election over this because they don't have a platform.
Well, I mean, one could only hope that that's the case. But the thing is that America is tired of it. I'm tired of it. It's very disappointing to put these people in office with all of their promises and all of the things that they say that they're going to do, and they get in and they do absolutely nothing. And it's so completely dysfunctional there right now.
And it's dishonest. And it's completely dishonest because they are running on platforms of things that they say that they're going to do to move their constituents forward and to improve the life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness of everybody in the United States. And none of that is happening. The only person moving us forward is President Trump and his administration.
Well, and I do have to say that the one thing that our Congress, or actually our Senate, has done is, you know, gotten two Supreme Court justices in there, which is great.
And that's big. And I agree.
It's a big deal. And I hope that we can get another. But think about the nonsense that we had to go through as a country with Judge Kavanaugh, with all those hearings. That just should never happen to anybody. What happened to President Trump should never happen to anybody. And the more that they dig into this on the other side, and now we have, you know, a force on our side in William Barr, the thing is that they're finding more and more that there was so much collusion to get President Trump out, to spy on him, to do all these different nefarious things to him, yet they're trying to get him put out as though he's the one who did them. And you know what? He's not the one who did it. They were doing it, and they lost at it, and they can't get over it.
Yeah, and let me clarify something. When you talk about William Barr, you know, who's the United States Attorney General and the head of the United States Department of Justice, being, you know, helping us, that doesn't come from a conservative standpoint at all. That, your comment, correct me if I'm wrong, but your comment comes from the fact that Mr. Barr is coming in to represent the law, and that's what we are. We are a country with a rule of law and not political bias and political gamesmanship. And Barr has been the Attorney General before. He calls it as he sees it, and he's just trying to level the playing field and do the right thing with respect to the law. The law is the law.
Well, I agree. And what has happened is only one side of the law has even been being looked at. But he is looking at the side of the law that said, hey, did you spy on a presidential campaign? Did you spy on a new administration? Did you write false FISA warrants? Did you do all of these different, did Hillary erase 33,000 emails? Did all of these things happen? What happened with the whole Ukraine situation? What happened
with Uranium One?
What happened with all of these different things that nobody's investigated?
Well, you know, the thing that bothers so many Americans, and I don't care if you are a Democrat, I don't care if you're a liberal, I don't care if you're a socialist, we should all be concerned about our civil rights. And the Fourth Amendment that deals with unreasonable searches and seizures is one of our most important amendments, because it deals with exactly what this entire investigation is all about. And I think that's what Bill Barr is perturbed about, because we have all seen it. Anybody who's not a Kool-Aid drinker for the Democratic Party, or a socialist, or a just off-the-wall extreme liberal, they should be able to see that there is pretty solid evidence that the Fourth Amendment was violated on multiple occasions.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there. But, you know, the bigger point to me right now is that nothing is getting done in Congress or the Senate. I mean,
we're being invaded by hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens and illegal alien criminals and terrorists and drug runners and sex traffickers. I mean, you name it. They have breached the walls of the United States and they are coming in and we are powerless to do anything about it. My God, if they had guns coming across the border, we would fight them like an enemy. And look at what Congress has done. They've turned tail and run. And what I liked about your recent article on America Out Loud, Lyndon, I got to tell you, it was one of your best. I liked it because there was sarcasm, but there was so much truth to it because you're talking about, women and men that make this, especially women, that make this over 1,000-mile journey from Honduras, from Nicaragua, from, you know, Central America, from San Salvador, and they come up facing all these odds, the traffickers, the cartels, the sex traffickers, they have little to no money. They're bringing one or two children. They've got their clothes in backpacks, and they're making this trek to sneak across the border, and that's at extreme risk.
Right.
And you can understand why they do it.
I could understand why they do it, and what my article says is I admire them. I mean, that takes a lot of moxie, and it takes guts, and it takes, you know, just it takes a passion to get out of the situation you're in. But whose fault is it? Is it theirs? No, they're trying to better their life. It's ours. We are calling them with the siren of Ceres. Is that right? Circe? Who's the...
Circe, yeah. The sirens. With the money, with the entitlements, with the free this, with the free that, with the government subsidized housing, with the EBT cards.
They know that they'll get in the country.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because once they get in and once they take that one step onto our soil...
They're here.
We have to do something
and
about
90,
it.
And 98% of them that have been detained and released because we were forced to release them because we haven't taken care of the loopholes, meaning Congress. That's their job. They're the legislators. Take care of these laws. Take care of these loopholes because Congress won't do their job because they're dysfunctional. Then these people come across the border. Now, of course, and I'm going to check in with you here, young lady, I get the idea that you admire them, but they're also breaking the law.
Oh, so I absolutely disagree with them coming.
Okay.
Okay, that's not... But you have...
I thought you changed on me.
No. But that's the sarcasm. But you have to admire that they take this risk in their life to better their life.
I totally understand that.
But the thing is, if we had the heroic courage in our country as these people who... beg us for their votes, say that they are able to have, that they really don't have, then these people wouldn't be coming because they would know that there's no open door for them.
That's exactly right.
It's just like, let's just dumb this down, okay? So if we have our home in a really nice neighborhood, and we leave our complete front door. We have no fence. We leave our front door wide open and full of all kinds of things that people could take. And by the way, if they do come and take them, not only will they take them, but we'll offer it to them. Why wouldn't they come? That is what we're doing here in this country. If we build the wall, we close the borders, we make sure that people cannot get in.
We close the loopholes.
Right. To our country illegally. If they are overstaying their visa, you do what Australia does and you track them down and you kick them out. But instead, we've got excuse after excuse. We've got our cities and our states and our... legislators in all those places that are making sanctuary cities, that are welcoming them, that are forbidding ICE from picking up the criminals, that are forbidding law enforcement from even knowing who people are or if they're legal or illegal, who are not allowing the job of Border Patrol, ICE, law enforcement to do their jobs to protect us, the American people. And now we even have a judge who is escorting an illegal out the back door.
With his bailiff in Massachusetts. Right. And they're under federal investigation for that right now. We can't have that. Just like we can't have the mayor of Oakland dropping a dime on ICE, right? Actually not dropping it on them, on everybody else, and burning ICE. And telling everybody, hey, guess what? ICE is coming in and they're going to make a series of raids. Well, ICE was there not to pick up, you know, innocent illegal aliens. They were there to do a crime sweep for illegal alien criminal gang members and narcotics traffickers. They had 150 of those people in their sights that they had warrants for their arrest. And guess what? When those people, when that mayor dropped that bomb, they skedaddled, and ICE didn't get one third of the people that they were, that they wanted, you know, to arrest, which means that a lot of dangerous criminals, armed dangerous criminals, got away. And anybody that was victimized after that, let me tell you what, Linda, the blood is on her hands.
She doesn't even care, though, but, Ron, but we and that's didn't the problem. Even,
but you know what? And this is how, you know, chicken we are. I wish I could swear, but this is radio. I would think that we would prosecute someone like that.
Okay? Oh, I would think
so as
well.
For obstruction of justice, sure. And delaying and obstructing and the United States government, federal officials, from doing their job. And that's, as a retired law enforcement officer, Linda, and someone that works, continues to work every single day in our criminal justice system with law enforcement, I can't tell you how perturbed I am that the rich elite get away with everything. They get away with it. Nobody's getting prosecuted on anything. There is no deterrent for political corruption and wrongdoing. And I can't tell you how angry it makes me as an American that spent an entire career and risked my life time and time again to ensure and fight for people's civil rights and their personal safety.
Well, and it's not even just the rich elite anymore. They're not even wanting to prosecute people for crimes that are anybody. That's a whole nother subject.
We could go on and on with these municipalities and these district attorneys now that have turned sideways and are letting, you know, they're not even prosecuting certain crimes anymore.
Right. But I want to go back to the people coming into the country, because if we did not incentivize them to come in, if we did not open the door and give them all $100 billion worth of freebies when they get here to come in and forbid anybody in law enforcement to do anything to get them out of here, why wouldn't they come? You cannot blame families that are in dire straits in their countries because their countries are, what the Democrats seem to want our country to be. They're falling apart. They can't feed their people. There's no jobs. These people, you know, they have a number of children. They live in very poor circumstances. They see a promised land here, and we are opening the door for them, and that is wrong of us. We are the ones that are wrong. They are not wrong for wanting a better life. They ought to learn how to stay home and make a better life in their own country. But, you know, that I can't control.
Well, let me tell you, and one of the reasons that they can't do that is because their systems are so corrupt. We've been to Nicaragua. We see how corrupt it is. We know a lot about Venezuela. We see how corrupt it is. We have a place in Mexico. We see how corrupt it is. But you know what? I'm not going to throw stones at a country like Mexico. In some respects, yes, but in other respects, no, because in many respects, our political system is just as corrupt as the Mexicans are.
Okay? Oh, I absolutely agree
and
with you.
Nothing.
And
we do nothing.
Yeah, it's just corrupt in a little bit different way.
Exactly.
But it's still corrupt. And the thing is that our politicians are not working on our behalf. And I'm talking not just about our Senate, not just about our Congress, but our state and local offices. You look at the city of Los Angeles, Ron, that just voted and started April 1st to if you want to do business with the city of Los Angeles, then you have to list on their form what relationship you have with NRA.
With the National Rifle Association.
Right. So if you are a member, or if you have any, you know, if you work with them, sell to them, do business with them, have any kind of dealings with them, the city of Los Angeles says they don't want to do business with you. And that is as wrong as it gets. America was not based on that type of discrimination.
Well, that's right. And look how that would hurt both of our businesses. I mean, you've got a thriving business in promotional products, and I'm a forensic expert, and we do investigations for a lot of municipalities. But here's the problem. Both you and I are life members of the National Rifle Association, and we are true believers in the Second Amendment. And we, part of our, one of our companies is actually doing, our Street Safe Defense Company does what? CCW, deadly force, use of force, and gun safety training. Because of that, are we going to get kicked out of any contracts with the city or the county of Los Angeles? Perhaps.
Well, they're being sued right now by the NRA because this violates people's First and 14th Amendment rights. So, you know, this is just, I don't know, we've gotten to a place in this country that makes no sense to me. And I know it's not just you and I, because I talk to people every day, and every time I'm out in the world visiting different people, you know, like the guy at the car place and things like that, they all agree. And then it boggles my mind why these other people get voted in. We need people who are actually going to work for people and get things done. And we don't have that. No, we just keep being that little hamster on the treadmill and going nowhere.
Well, you and I are great proponents of what you and I refer to as the Take It Back movement. And that's what really people have to do. I think common sense conservatives, I think moderate Democrats, anybody, libertarians, anybody that does not like the direction that the United States of America is heading has got to be engaged. They have to educate themselves. They have to know what these, you know, what the legislation is. They have to understand some information on civics and how the government works and what the Congress does as opposed to the Senate and what kind of bills are being, you know, presented. And they have to hold these people accountable. And unless they engage by protest, unless they engage by petition, unless they engage by voting and recall, this country is going to hell in a handbag.
Well, and while they're engaging, they need to engage 10 other people.
And that's exactly right. Hey, how about maybe a cup of hot tea?
You got it.
I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to responsetoactiveshooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, responsetoactiveshooter.com, and be safe out there.
I want to kind of do a potpourri of different things that are in the news that I find really interesting. And the first one is kind of heartbreaking, but it really makes a good point. And that's a young man named Hunter who lost his sister in the Parkland shooting. And his sister was Meadow Pollock, and his name is Hunter Pollock. You know, he brought up a really good point about the shooter, in that the shooter had a long, extensive list of warning signs that were flagged by the FBI for dangerous and threatening behavior.
And you know, Linda, let me just say, because that's one of my national cases, is that the shooter, and we don't like to mention their names, had 34 contacts with law enforcement. That is so unusual.
Well, and yet he was still able to do what he did, unfettered. So what Hunter said is, I really wish that they would have raided, the FBI would have raided his home the same way that they raided Roger Stone's home, who didn't do anything in the same vein as this shooter did.
Let's put that in perspective, because Roger Stone is 67 years old. His wife is about the same age, maybe even a year or two older. They are in bed. This is the middle of the night in zero dark early hours. You got two older people in a two-story house. You've got the FBI, you know, 60 FBI agents dressed in raid gear, you know, the SWAT team. They came in 15 or 20 vehicles, and they even had a patrol boat in the back, because apparently the Stone house is on like one of those canals. I mean, it was a military operation.
And, absolutely.
And for what? And you go in and you hit that front door, and you, and by the way, Roger Stone's wife is deaf. All right. And so what the heck does she know about what's going on? And of course, Roger Stone doesn't know what the heck's going on. And this is the way that people are shot and killed by accident. And there was no call whatsoever for this high-profile SWAT raid on Roger Stone's house, when they couldn't even take care of business of a guy that ended up being a mass murderer, active shooter in Marjorie Stoneham High School in Parkland, Florida.
And broadcasts that he was going to do this all over social media.
Correct.
Where was the FBI then?
Correct.
Is Hunter's question, and I totally agree.
You know what? As a longtime detective, at most, with regards to Roger Stone, this is a white-collar crime, at most. And having worked white-collar crime before, this is what we used to do. We used to call up their attorneys, right? You can have your search warrant people there, but you call up the attorney and you say to them, hey, we're going to do this. Why don't you, you know, bring your client with you? And it's like arrest by appointment.
Yeah.
And at the same time you're doing that, you can go and effect the search warrant, but you do it in a professional way. This was absolutely insane. It was highly dangerous, and I'm glad that neither of the Stones were injured during this unnecessary raid.
Right. And would they have done it at the other house? There would be 17 children still alive.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, another story that I thought was interesting was one that highlights that nearly 100,000 unauthorized illegal immigrants graduate from U.S. high schools per year. And, you know, kudos to them for graduating. Got to hand it to them for that. But we paid for that, and they weren't supposed to be here in the first place.
Well, the thing that bothers me is we have a lot of American kids that are, you know, born and raised here, that are here legally, and they get a lot less attention. And I know this because I was an ESL, English as a Second Language, teacher when one of our boys was going to school. And, you know, I can remember very vividly that he was having problems in a couple of areas. And I'm not a math person. He was having problems with math. And so, you know, we tried to get him tutored at the school for math. And they told us, I'm sorry, we don't have any tutoring money. It's all gone to ESL training. So what was happening is the illegal aliens that were going to his school were getting all the money for tutoring and education and English as a second language, but the American kids were basically SOL, and they weren't getting anything. So we had to hire our own math teacher to come and, you know, deal with Brian.
Right, and pay for that. So another thing that's happening in schools that I absolutely am horrified about, and this is, you know, an area that I really don't like, is the California unions, the teachers' unions. But the unions are using their financial dues of all the people, whether they agree or not, to push a hard left policy of abortion in public schools. And what they are doing, I mean, we're talking hard left. So they're forcing teachers to tell children that at age 12, they have the right to go get an abortion without their parents' knowledge or permission.
That's disgraceful.
And the schools will help them get there and help them fund it.
The school should have nothing to do with family issues.
Oh, nothing like that. And how dare they take that right away from the parent?
Exactly.
And as a parent, I would want, first of all, I not just want, I would have to know that that was what was happening to my child. But secondly, well, to have somebody else take charge of that and make that happen without my knowledge or permission, I can't even imagine.
Well, the other thing is that they don't know anything about the medical history. They don't know anything about the family history. This could be a situation where the child is pregnant, but there could be an outstanding medical issue that the school is not aware of, but you might be aware of it as a parent, you know, about your family's medical history and things to watch out for. The schools need to stay out of our bedrooms. The schools need to stay out of the health of our children, with the exception of inoculations and vaccinations, okay? Because the law should be stating, and I know it does in California, but it should state that kids that are not vaccinated should not be allowed in school.
Well, I'd like to point out that the teachers union in California collects about $5 billion a year tax-free money that they use to push their social agenda and their sexual and political agenda into our kids at school.
That's
and
really
true. And that is wrong.
That's really true.
I am not a fan of the teachers union. I think it should completely be abolished. It is people putting money into that union in order to simply push their politics onto everybody else. And that's not right. I don't think that the teachers need that union anymore.
Listen, I have just, you know, I know a lot about teachers' unions. Number one, I was an administrator at a college once, so I had to deal with teachers' unions, and I think they're just pathetic. That's number one. And believe me, the unions in these colleges and universities, they run these schools, not the college or university administrators, and I speak, you know, with direct experience there. But I've also seen the other side of it down on the ground pounder side of classified and certified employees. And I've got a case right now that I can't discuss the particulars of, except for I have to connect with the union because I'm involved in the defense of a union employee that is a classified member of the school district. And I will tell you that that union is absolutely worthless. And it's CSEA, absolutely worthless. They are doing nothing for my client. They are the dumbest reps I've ever seen in my life. And they do not do anything to represent the people that are paying all that money. They're getting, like you said, they're making billions of dollars, and they're taking that money, and they're getting involved in all this political action here and there, but as far as taking care of their members and training themselves where they should be knowing things about union rights and that type of thing, absolutely dumb. Hey, Lynn, since we're doing a little potpourri, how about a little bit of political news? I've got two of them. Number one, the FBI just recently raided the Baltimore City Hall and the home of Mayor Catherine Pugh, the mayor of Baltimore, in their ongoing investigation into Baltimore City official corruption. And also, I'm seeing that the governor of the state of Illinois is being investigated by the FBI for corruption as well.
Oh,
isn't
God.
That interesting? And just one more political tidbit. You know, one of the people that that we love to talk about from time to time is South Central Congressional District. I believe it's the 43rd District in California. Maxine Waters, the Trump hater and the leader of the Let's Try to Impeach President Trump movement. And so she won in 2018. Maxine's been there forever. This year, there is a Republican congressional candidate by the name of Omar Navarro, and he is going to try for his second time to unseat Maxine. Well, that's going to be pretty hard. I know that in the 2018 election, she got 78% of the vote, and Mr. Navarro got only 22% of the vote. But God bless him for trying. Somebody's got to do something with crazy Maxine. You know, I think that she is probably one of the most ineffective members of Congress, and I can't think of a single bit of legislation in the 30-something years that Maxine has been in the Congress, except she got some legislation passed to change the name of a post office to, I guess, some name that she wanted to have it, you know.
Well, that's important, Ron.
Done. Okay, that's the only thing that woman has done in 36 years.
Yeah, she needs to be out of office. I don't even think she has all of her marbles.
No, that's why I say it's crazy, Maxine.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about measles for a second, because the United
please.
States is experiencing its largest measles outbreak since it was declared eliminated, and now it's back. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm back.
Well, you know what? I think that
I'll
it's back.
Back.
I think it's back for a couple of reasons. Number one, there is an anti-vaccination inoculation movement going on in the United States. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and so it's not like when you and I were growing up and we had the Salk vaccine and we lined up in the 1950s at the school.
That was for polio.
And Yeah. That's the Salk vaccine. And we took the little sugar cube. Remember that?
Yep.
And that protected us against polio. And polio is unheard of in the United States. But polio is coming back. There's been a couple of cases of polio down in the southern states. Measles is back. Typhoid is back, and typhus is back, and those things were completely eradicated. And the second reason is because we have all these illegal aliens coming across our border, and they carry these diseases with them and spread them around. And you get one or two of those kids into a school, and you're dealing with people that don't believe in inoculating, and guess what? All those kids that are not inoculated against measles, polio, typhoid fever, yellow fever, tuberculosis, you name it, those are the kids that are going to come down. And I believe that the state of New York right now has got an epidemic of measles.
Yeah,
I did
hear that. It's, I mean, in an epidemic, really, I think for them is something like 200
Well, they've
cases,
got more than 200
but,
now.
There's a trend in the measles. They've been rising. And the thing is, it's not just a simple disease. It can be a very deadly disease, especially in people with weakened immune systems or in very small children.
Well, what about women
highly,
that are pregnant?
Yeah,
what about women that are pregnant?
Absolutely. And it's highly contagious. And it can cause complications like pneumonia or inflammation of the brain. And seizures.
Encephalitis,
so
absolutely.
Yes, it is a serious thing. And the states that have confirmed measles cases is huge. It's about half of our states, Ron.
Wow.
So it's a good number of states. And people need to, you know, understand that the vaccination is not worse than the disease.
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. It's important. We can't let this get out of control.
Well,
again.
The people, you know, these people are conspiracy theorists as far as the vaccinations are concerned. Come on, you got to start thinking about your kids. What religion is it? It's Seventh Day Adventist.
I don't remember.
Either Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh Day Adventists do not believe in vaccinations or anything like that, and medical treatment, as a matter of fact. And so we have some real issues when we deal with families from, you know, that religion. And I apologize if I haven't named the right religion, but my point is that when you get into religious doctrine and religious zealots, it can harm the health of your kids, and you don't want to have that.
Yeah. Well, another couple of tidbits of news. Ocasio-Cortez is in the news again because she put something out on Twitter about GOP, old GOP men that want to stand next to her cutout picture. You know? And so she was kind of making fun of old GOP politicians. Well, the actual photograph that was taken was a Democrat standing next to her picture. So she doesn't even know who she's in Congress with.
You know,
and by the way, the guy is the head of the budget committee, so not a nobody.
You know what? It's kind of funny because, you know, AOC is the gift that keeps on giving. She is wrong far more than she is right. But it's really kind of fun when she puts her foot in her face, which happens once or twice a week.
Well, you know, another thing that I just heard on the news, which, you know, I actually agree with, it was talking about the best places in America to live, the place where people are the happiest. And number one was Austin, Texas.
Well, you know, we were just recently up in Austin. And we've had to go up there a couple of times for business, and I was just up there 2 weeks ago for business. And it's a thriving city. Of course, it's a huge young person city because of the university up there. And, you know, I was up there. You weren't with me. I went up there to go do a case, and I was up there on a beautiful spring Sunday. And, you know, they've got that lake, the Lady Bird Lake that's right there, and then the river is there. I got to tell you what, I wanted to just park the car and go for a walk. It was so beautiful. And we haven't eaten at any of the restaurants up there, but I'm hearing that the restaurants are outstanding up in Austin.
Well, it's a beautiful, beautiful city. And, you know, it's got a really great vibe to it. So, you know, it came out as the number one city in the country that people are the happiest to live in.
And you know what? And it's got quite a music reputation there, too.
It is the live music capital of the country.
Incredible. Yeah. Hey, well, listen, I'm kind of pooped out. How about bedtime?
Yep, I am ready to go.
The dog's already out cold.
Out cold.